This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back. You're listening to The Morning Run. It's Wednesday, the 11th of May, and it's just gone past 7:35 in the morning. We're shifting our attention to another island state, which is Hong Kong, because they've got a new chief executive, John Lee, whose last official post was chief secretary for administration and secretary for security. Now, Lee scored a resounding victory in the Hong Kong Special Administrative Region's elections last Sunday, becoming the island city's sixth-term chief executive elect.
And Lee was voted by a government-appointed pro-Beijing committee of close to 1,500 people to be the next leader for the city's 7.5 million residents. And he was the only person in the running, actually, unlike previous elections where there were runoffs between multiple candidates. And in terms of priorities, the new chief executive has said that he will firmly safeguard the nation's core interests and the rule of law. And he added that he will prioritise tackling the most pressing issues such as housing, healthcare and youth development.
But who really is John Lee? And what kind of future will he bring to Hong Kong after 2 years of the pandemic? And prior to that, a political crisis which saw thousands of Hong Kong people storming the streets. For more on this, we have with us Michael Frank, Senior Analyst of Public Policy Economist Impact. Good morning, Michael. Now, can you tell us about John Lee's background and how do you think he will administer Hong Kong?
Good morning. Thanks for having me. John Lee is a former police officer. He came up through the Hong Kong police force and rising to become deputy commissioner, and then ultimately has served in the city administration over the past decade or so as secretary for security. Most recently as chief secretary, who's essentially the city's number two official. And ultimately, you know, who he is publicly, what we know about his politics is that he is essentially a hardliner on the political front. He was implementing a lot of the most draconian policies that we've been talking about over the last couple of years, in particular national security law. And he's really a true believer that Hong Kong cannot have a vibrant future without having resolved the political question by essentially eliminating dissent. That's really what we know about him publicly. I think it's important to remember, though, you know, compared to a lot of other, compared to democratic countries, typically in China, we have very little insight into the type of personality or character of public officials. So that's something that the city's certainly about to learn more of.
Is that why he was selected by the Chinese Communist Party to run Hong Kong? Because he's known to be quite draconian. And is this an indication of what's going to be happening in Hong Kong in terms of how strict things will be?
Absolutely. I think ultimately Beijing wants Hong Kong to not be a problem. And so that really, from their perspective, requires that you have a leader in Hong Kong with two characteristics. One is they have to understand the bigger picture as Beijing sees it. And certainly John Lee has been involved in a lot of conversations with mainland officials directly through his work in the administration over the past few years. So they actually know him. They not just from what they've seen about his politics, but he has been in the room discussing these issues, and they understand where he falls on them. The second point that they're looking for is somebody who's competent, because at the end of the day, Hong Kong not being a problem does require to have an administration that understands what are essentially the red lines among society, the flashpoints that could trigger political unrest. And that was something that Carrie Lam's administration famously did not understand when they triggered the civil unrest of 2019 with their introduction of an extradition bill that, frankly, Beijing wasn't even asking for at the time. So I think those are the two primary reasons why John Lee fits what they're looking for.
So other than having the backing of the Chinese Communist Party or the CCP that he managed to garner, what about the public support from the Hong Kong people? What's the sense of his true popularity on the ground?
Well, as you noted in your intro, it wasn't really an election. It was only 1,500 people who voted and there was no alternative candidate. So public support at this point, you know, I think in general, people's feeling is that they haven't been asked. They haven't been given an opportunity to offer support. Ultimately, political leadership, and this is true in any political system over any amount of time. Ultimately, you will win the public support if you work for them on the issues that matter to them and improve their lives in a way that convinces them that you care about their lives and their livelihoods. And, you know, it remains to be seen whether John Lee is willing or able to do that. But, you know, that's going to take time. There is no democratic legitimacy from this process. So he's essentially starting from zero.
Do you think he has the required background to actually implement the policies like you just mentioned, which is what policies to improve the economy, housing, healthcare? Those are the pressing issues that Hong Kong faces at the moment, though.
Well, the key thing to understand, too, is what was the alternative? And I think that, you know, there were really not a lot of either, you know, specific people that could have done this job or even broadly, you know, the type of person that Beijing would essentially allow to step into this role. And so John Lee may be the best possible option. You have somebody who Beijing trusts. Because they really do believe that he understands their security preferences in Hong Kong and he's willing to continue the crackdown. And yet at the same time, he may be more collaborative with the rest of society on other policy issues that don't directly touch on security. He's already indicated that a little bit with some of his early speeches that he does intend to run an administration that relies much more on a wider range of experts and stakeholders and asking them for their advice and their opinions on particular issues. The COVID policy is a great example of this, that he has already indicated that he will do what he can to liberalize the COVID policy and move a little bit more towards, you know, the normalization that the rest of the world outside of China is living with, given Hong Kong's role as an international city. It's possible he may be the only one who can do that because at the end of the day, he views the security issues as a fact that is non-negotiable. And that's just something that he's essentially betting the rest of society, including the international business community, will ultimately accept if he can deliver on the other issues in a collaborative way.
So how do countries outside of China and Hong Kong view his appointment? And will Lee face difficulties when it comes to foreign policy for Hong Kong?
I would say his main issue at the moment, he's actually under sanction by the U.S. government. So not being able to have a constructive relationship with the United States is very difficult for Hong Kong chief executive, both in personal terms. I mean, he won't be able to have access to the global banking system to take his salary. Carrie Lam has been taking cash, but also considering the importance of the U.S. economy and U.S. businesses in Hong Kong, that obviously creates a rather awkward situation. The EU and Japan, I think it's slightly less acrimonious, but certainly they have been very vocal as well about Hong Kong's slide into authoritarianism, and they understand the significant role that John Lee played. So it's going to be awkward at the beginning. Ultimately, the question I think will be, does he communicate that now he's in a more holistic leadership role, that, you know, he's willing to be a little bit more collaborative? If he does, I think that it's possible the international community will at least relax in tone their interactions with him, maybe if substance. I don't see those U.S. sanctions going away anytime soon.
All right. Thank you for your time. That was Michael Frank, senior analyst of public policy at Economist Impact, giving us his views on the newly elected chief executive of Hong Kong, John Lee, who, by the way, according to the BBC, has a bit of a nickname. His nickname is Pikachu. It's, you know, for those who don't know, it's a character from the cartoon Pokemon.
Because of his name.
Well, it's also because apparently he has pet-like loyalty to Beijing.
What? All right. And actually, I was looking at this election, and apparently this is quite similar to elections that's happening in that happened in Macau ever since they took over from the Portuguese to the Chinese in 1999. So apparently it's been a one-man race in 4 out of their 5 elections so far, ever since the handover. And if we're looking at the history a little bit in Hong Kong's leaders, the second leader, which is Donald Tsang, he also ran for the chief executive role, and he won unopposed. So
it's not the first time.
It's not the first time.
Well, when you consider only 1,500 people vote to determine who runs a city-state of 7.5 million, hey, that says a lot. But I think whatever said and done, John Lee is under pressure, one of which is how soon can Hong Kong reopen its borders? Because there are question marks over its ability to maintain its status as the financial hub of Asia. And there has been some brain drain from Hong Kong to Singapore, because the rules there are far less draconian. Hong Kong is still maintaining this zero COVID policy, and questions are like, is this possible in this new era? WHO has already come out to say it's impossible. So why maintain this very strict hard line?
I think that's also one of the priorities that Carrie Lam is trying to achieve before she leaves office. But whether China is going to heed to this demand is something else, because in China itself, they are still going to uphold this zero COVID policy, despite the cases has come down from 25,000 to 3,000 over the weekend. So it's still very, very strict in China.
Yeah, so I think Lee's first test, big test, will be trying to negotiate with his mainland counterparts, on how best to fulfill their requirements to loosen border curbs while also opening up internationally. I think everybody's going to be watching that very closely. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.